Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off the Record. Off the Record. Off the Record.
Hello gang, welcome back to this week's Off the Record DJ podcast, and today we're going to get into some juicy controversial discussion about what is there too much of and what is there not enough of in the DJ industry. And there are some great responses. Before I get to that though, it is me, Lawrence James. We've got Danny James as usual. Hello.
Hello.
And we've got Blakey. How are you, man?
I'm good, mate. How
yeah?
are you?
Good, yeah. It's not Jamie with a different haircut. It is a different you and me. It is Blakey back in the building. Jamie is now on his way to Disney World.
Yeah.
With two little kids. Good luck.
The happiest place on earth.
The happiest place on earth. When you get there, I can't imagine the flight is great, but I hope they have the best time. I've just come back off holiday as well, which is why my skin is glowing, if you're watching, which is why I put on about a stone, because it was an all-inclusive resort. But back refreshed, ready to go. How was the podcast last week? I was planning to watch it, but my flight was like 3 a.m,
yeah.
So I just went to sleep. But I saw some funny reactions and stuff.
Yeah, it was a good laugh, actually. Yeah. So we were just talking about funny stories from the DJ world, and awesome. It was like people writing in saying that they'd had bird shit on the controller, sorts of stuff. It was
great.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Was it?
Yeah, I recommend watching. Yeah.
Go back and listen to that. How are you, Blakey? You just come back from Taiwan.
Yeah.
How was it? And more importantly, why was you there?
So I'm still a little bit jet lagged. I actually got out of there as well the day before the earthquake happened. So I'm very lucky.
Wild.
I hit up the people that I was out there with straight away. Yeah. And fortunately, they were okay. It looked awful. But yeah, I was out there to do a Spider-Man live show.
Nice.
So for anyone who doesn't know,
yes.
I did the scratching on 2 Spider-Man movies. So the first one was Into the Spider-Verse, and the second one was the sequel, Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And there are live shows where they play the movie and there is an orchestra performing the music, and then I do the scratching. So I was lucky enough to be flown out to Taiwan to do it.
So sick. Like we've spoken a little bit about that on the podcast before, but I don't think you was here. We were just like, I can't believe he gets to do this. Just give us a bit of a background on how that started and how that came about. Like how do you get a job in a movie? And also what are the mechanics of like, you know, you're in a booth all day scratching. What happens?
So like most good things that happen in people's careers, it was kind of right time, right place.
Yeah.
I was working for Serato at the time, and Daniel Pemberton, who is the guy who composed the score for the movies, he emailed, I think he just emailed the marketing team at Serato or the support team. And he had a question, which was, can you scratch 5.1 surround sound files in Serato?
Great question.
The answer is no. But because I was at the time the UK rep for Serato, I was put in touch with Daniel to chat with him. And that's basically how I met him.
Yeah.
And he told me he was working on a Spider-Man movie. And he said he wants to put scratching in there. Mm. And I said, well, I can scratch.
Pretty well.
I've done that before. So, and that was it. And then we got on really well. And he got me to do the scratching. To answer your question further, like, what was the process? So he would send over a bunch of sounds that he wanted scratching. But this was kind of early in the process. So he would send over the sounds. I would do some scratches. And he would, like, put them in the score as kind of placeholder.
Yeah.
Then once he knows what he wants, then he got me back in to actually properly record them.
Oh, nice.
So we did the first ones at Abbey Road,
ooh,
which is really cool.
Abbey Road Studios as well, like the Beatles made their albums.
Yeah, right. Which is really cool, but I was in like a cupboard. I wasn't in
You weren't in like John Lennon's.
No. although he did show me where those places, where those albums were made.
That's cool.
So did the first one at Abbey Road, and then we did the second one at a place called Air Studios, which is like an old church in Northwest London. But the acoustics in this place are insane. So that is the place where they record all orchestral stuff in London for films and things like that. It's quite a long process. Yeah. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I'm going to be on the third one as well.
Nice. Oh, right,
Which doesn't it's have a couple a date
years,
yet.
A couple of years.
Probably, So hopefully I'm on that one as well.
Sick. Nice. So they play the big show on a big screen, and then there's a huge band, and then you do the scratches from the scene.
Yeah, and in Taiwan, this orchestra was enormous. It was 45 people.
Wow. Is that the biggest one?
That was the biggest one that we've done so far,
Oh, my God.
Usually it's like 15 to 20, or maybe 25, 30 for a big UK show, but Taiwan was huge.
Amazing. That's sick. Nice. We need to see it when it comes to London. We need to,
yeah,
need to
definitely.
Go.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, apparently this isn't confirmed yet, but I'm sure they will tour number two. Hopefully this year.
So, yeah. So that's the first film you're doing.
That's right.
Ah, right. Okay.
So, yeah. So number two, hopefully later this year.
Oh, so exciting. Nice. many of you will recognize Blake here as well from part of Crossfader because he is the star, the face of our open format course, which hundreds and hundreds of you have taken. We had our big Easter sale, which is still currently going on. If you listen to this live, it's 35% off all courses now on wearecrossfader.co.uk, and it will end this Monday. So this Monday coming, if you are listening live, you can still get 35% off all of our DJ courses. And we're going to get stuck into some topics now around about, I asked a question on Instagram on Monday, which is, what is there too much of and what is there not enough of in the DJ industry? And there are some amazing responses. So first of all, I just want to shout out to everybody watching live, as usual, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. We love to get your questions. Danny's taken over Jamie's, so it could all go wrong at any time, but we fingers crossed, you're in good hands. If you've got any questions, we'd like to answer your questions at the end, but we want to get you involved in this chat. So two questions that I want you to answer and put in the chat right now is, what is there too much of in the DJ industry and what is there not enough of in the DJ industry? So too much of and what is there not enough of? Let us know, and hello to anyone watching around the world. So I'm going to read some amazing responses and let's have a talk about some of these responses. So one of them from Danny T, a friend of ours.
Oh yeah.
He says, too much this genre versus that genre, and not enough these tunes are bangers regardless of pigeonholing them to a genre.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with
too much kind of like, oh, this is progressive. This is not deep, you know. I think that being an open format DJ our sort of lens is a bit wider than maybe a DJ plays like one or two genres.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're just open to like throw down, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are specific, you know, maybe it is clicky, but I don't know anyone that just likes one genre of music or goes for like,
I agree. Yeah. Although I do know some people who are into drum and bass and only drum and bass.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I also know two people who are into drum and bass and lots of other stuff, there's something about drum and bass that's almost cult-like, isn't it?
There is. It's similar with techno, I find. You get like these genre police within...
Genre police?
Yeah.
Within a genre?
Yeah. So like,
yeah, it is.
You'll play something in what you might call hard techno, they will correct me like, this is not quite hard techno. It's okay.
Yeah. Danny put a lot of techno mixes on YouTube. So then it was like, the comments was like, do some hard techno. So we're like, okay, there's loads of responses for this. So we put some hard techno. Like the first comment was like, this is not hard techno. Yeah. We're like
we tried.
Blame Beatport. Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
Blame Beatport and the artists who allow them to go into these playlists.
Yeah. At the end of the day, a tune's a tune.
Yeah, exactly.
A good tune is a good tune.
I think when we was at Ibiza, we go to, you know, the trendy sports Amnesia and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they'd be playing sort of deep house and there'd be an organ in there.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, so what? Yeah, like, you know.
I think it's just personal preference, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's however you categorize music, what works for you is what it is.
I saw Chapter and Verse did a post about if he's off to do a DJ set, he's got sort of a plan of he's going to play. If he has a DJ before playing one of the tracks, he won't play that track or he won't play a few of them.
Yeah,
would you do that? Do you think?
Yeah,
you got to do that. Yeah,
yeah.
You don't want it to be exhausting for the crowd, do you?
Totally.
What about if it's like the biggest song?
Depends what time I'm on.
It does. Yeah. But you can still play your set and then, you know, leave it to like right at the end, maybe. Yeah. You know. But yeah, crowd fatigue is a bit of a funny one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chapter and Verse, he put too many little cliques who pipe each other off all day. And that's not a euphemism. I just think it means like gas each other up and like the clicky little cliques in the industry who sort of are just all speak to each other and don't let anyone else in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a bit of that.
I think that's what, there's a lot of comments coming through now saying about gatekeeping.
Well, this was the most liked
right.
one.
Is that the kind of thing that he means by that?
Well,
that
I think it goes into it, doesn't it? Like clicky. My view on clicks is I don't know people who like intentionally do it. I don't think people know they're in a clique. I just think you get friendly with people you like.
Yeah.
And then you just hang out with them. Is it sort of thing? Do you know what I mean?
Is it kind of like this like mentality of like a playground, but it's like, you can't be friends with us. It's like, we're cool. Like,
I don't think anyone's like going out of their way to like not involve, or maybe they are. They're probably, obviously there is dicks out there.
Yeah.
But I think that like clicky clicks, you can't, it's a bit like, you know, if you're an up-and-coming DJ, you can't just jump in there into a group of established DJs or well-known DJs.
Ah, right.
You've got to play the game and, like, you know, give some value and then, you know, hang around a bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I think as well, it's like, it's to a certain degree, it's human nature. Like, when people are literally feeding their families off this thing... They don't want anything to sort of potentially come in the way of that.
That's
a
good point.
I've seen it before where a DJ will be playing at a venue, and even if they might need someone else to play at that venue, they won't want to put someone who's better than them into that venue just in case it messes up their thing.
You know what?
They've got a family to feed. You know?
I actually had this motto until I was about, I don't know, early 20s, where it was kind of like dog eat dog, and there's only so many venues. And I was playing hip hop at the time. There was probably like four or five good hip hop DJs sharing, you know, a few gigs. And yeah, if I had to get cover, which was rare, I would always send someone who I knew wasn't as good as me.
Right.
Yeah. Which is like a bit gatekeepy, I guess. Is it like, or just, is it, like I said, I've got to eat. I've got to like make sure that I can come back to that. Because there has been, I know that when, you know, DJs would go abroad for the season, for example, and I would take their gig, and then the manager would be like, oh, you can just have this gig, or, you're not intentionally doing it, it's just how it works.
Yeah, like when you're making a living off it, it can be a very delicate living, you know what I mean? Like, I've had it before where I've put too many eggs in one basket with certain gigs, and I've had like two or three residencies that make up all of my gigs, and you lose one, you're like, oh, wow, uh-oh, I've just lost 40% of my income.
Yeah.
And as I sort of got more established and you know people, it's kind of the opposite now. It's like I like to share gigs around, and we've got this good group of DJs who are in, you know, giving gigs around. We've got WhatsApps going around of like, oh, can't do this, do you want this? And it's that's taken a while to sort of get to that stage. And again, you can't just come into that if you're brand new. You got to put in the legwork a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you've got to have earned your stripes. And
Luke says, too many drops, not enough mixing.
What? Too many drops.
Too many drops. And I think this goes to like maybe like TikTok generation where the only viral things are just the big drops on tracks.
It's like instant gratification music. It's just like, I want to hear the drop 30 seconds.
Yeah.
If that.
And I do like a long blend.
Yeah.
I do like a long blend.
Well, I don't know if I do. I'm a quick mixer DJ, so.
This is down really to the genre.
It is definitely down to
a time and a place.
Big time. Big time.
I think those techno, like drum and bass, drum and bass is quite quick, but I think especially with things like techno and house, it could be a lot more drawn out.
That's what the rotaries are for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I do find myself going, like, because I, not necessarily from the sort of house world, and I'd be at a house gig, a house festival, and you know, after 3 minutes of a track, I'm like, come on, even if I'm really, really drunk, I'm just like, come on, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get it that like the art form, like if I'm in a car, for example, I love a long mix and like a good like deep house mix or something like that I could just listen to.
Yeah.
There is an art form to it. Yeah. And maybe that is what's getting lost. But yeah, anything online, nobody's tuning in online for a 7 minute track, like just for a bit of an art, I mean, you know? Crider Music. This got like about 1,000 likes. Too much content, not enough art.
Mm.
And there's also one that's like, the next one as well is by Enough DJ. Too much focus on social media, too little focus on music.
I cannot disagree.
So I will, just for a podcast. I get it, right? But I just think that some people who aren't really good at social media or don't really like it will give that as an excuse to not make social media.
Right.
It's like, that isn't me. I don't want to do that. I'd rather, if I sit in a studio for 9 hours making art, that is more valuable than, you know, posting 7 times this week. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't have the same relationship with social media as they do with like creating a track.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just a different skill. Do you know what I mean? It's just another skill that you need to get good at. Like, it's just how it is, right?
It is how it is.
100%.
It's just the times, isn't it? I think that's a lot of people just don't see that. They think, oh, you're just an influencer, but it's like, it doesn't work without that anymore.
Yeah.
There's no DJ just making mixes anymore, and that's good enough. That's just unfortunately not the way it is.
Yeah.
It's just true. The sign of the times.
Like every time I get James Hype's videos pop up on my YouTube, and every time I watch them and I think, this guy has every facet down.
Exactly.
Every single one. And look how big he is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think that people really get annoyed at them sort of DJs who literally, sort of really in your face and, you know, posting three times a day, getting loads and loads of followers where, you know, they're not necessarily, you don't see them necessarily doing mixes or anything like that, a bit for show. People really get sort of annoyed at that if you're, you know, kind of like an old school DJ, or you're into it for the art, or you're into it for the 7 minute blends.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just have a different, I just see it as these people have a different skill to the people who like the art form of it, you know, whereas, you know, someone like James Hype has both. But it is just, if you just look at it from a different lens of, right, this is not my thing, I'm not into it, but can I learn to do this? Because if I've got the art and I'm like, you know, I'm great technically, I'm a great turntablist or whatever it is, can I, you know, dedicate 6 months to learning social media inside out, like trying to fall in love with the process of it?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I've got both.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can do both.
I will say as well that even if you're not that into it, if you start doing it and you start getting good at it and you start seeing some results, that will make you start liking it, actually.
Yeah, it probably will.
If it actually starts to work and you know, because editing video is quite a satisfying thing to do.
Yes.
Editing vertical content is not that tricky, really. It's like, you know, it's not, you're not editing a movie, you know.
Yeah,
100%. That's a great point. I think that anything you don't have evidence that works for, you just say this doesn't. Loads of people listen to this will have posted, you know, three or four times.
Yeah,
won't have got any views. Blame it on Instagram, and then, you know, that's that kind of like. And then in a couple of months, I go, right, I'll try again. Post a couple of times, and it doesn't really work like that.
No.
So as much as I agree to a point that I would much rather prefer getting into it for the love, learning the inside and out, being in the culture. And then I just develop the skill of the other stuff I need.
Yeah.
It's ultimately what your goal is as well.
Yeah, that's like, it.
You can be a DJ that just mixes at home, and that's fine. You're still a DJ. Yeah.
I know DJs who make good livings being, you know, resident DJs, bar DJs, and they make good, decent money, and they don't post anything because they don't need to. But the thing is as well, like, you can't have one without the other. So if you want to do the social media thing, you've got to have some good stuff to put on there. So you need to concentrate on the art first, really.
Totally. Sabion, so there's too much gatekeeping. I'd like 1,200 likes.
Right, so this,
is this going on?
These are flooding in. Everyone's like, gatekeeping.
Gatekeeping, like, which is definitely like a sort of word that's popped up in like the last 5 years, hasn't it?
It's
this kind of thing of like,
keep
everything should be available to everyone, which does make sense.
Yeah.
But it is like, what you make a great point early, Blakey, where people are trying to eat, and, you know, if you're making tracks or you're DJing every night and there's other people trying to do the same thing, it's a human nature to try and hold onto your resources. Yeah. So I get that, like, the knee-jerk reaction is to like protect what I have. But it is a bit of a different world. And now people connect through communities and like Discord and YouTube and all these communities, and sharing is what will get you networks now, isn't it? It's like, you know, giving people value will you know, grow your network, and that's how you do it now.
So
I totally agree that, and, you know, one reason we've started, like, you know, doing a podcast game where we give you tracks and try and help as much as you can, and give track lists and all that kind of thing. Just all information is in our heads.
Yeah.
It's trying to get out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
To give people what they want. But yeah, gatekeeping, definitely like a newish topic that
it is.
That is,
I remember I got called gatekeeping when we put that Serato hack up. So we did a short video on our Instagram showing AM mode where you can hide the tracks. Yeah. And everyone was like, you're part of the problem. Yeah. Like, kicking off at me. I'm like, I didn't make the feature. Yeah. I'm just showing you how you can use it.
It's been around for years, that feature as well. Yeah,
but to be fair, that I did used to use it all the time.
Yeah.
When I had DJ stood behind me, I was like, oh, I don't want them to know me. Like, I'd spent so much time looking for tracks.
Yeah.
And then people would be like, what's this tune? And it's like, oh, let me just keep it for a little bit longer and then I'll share it.
I used to have, back in the vinyl days, I used to have these little white labels that I'd put over the records.
Yeah.
So that people can see. Amazing.
How time change.
Serious one by Ray says, too many all-male lineups, not enough femme, minorities, disabled artists being showcased. And I bring this up because I've seen two things in the last few weeks, which was one, which was, I think, Wireless Festival, some big festival in the UK, put the lineup out on the Friday was just all males.
Yeah.
And it was like a hip-hop festival, and you're like, eh. And that's like a big corporation.
Yeah.
And then I see there's DJs and industry like Jaguar, who's putting on like all girl lineups because they just aren't out there. Mm-hmm. It's just mad that these high up corporations are getting sign offs on big events,
yeah,
and just like not doing the homework.
There's a movement of artists. I know the Om Unit has spoken about this. Right. There's a movement of artists who just will not play unless there's a certain percentage of.
Yeah, there is. I know, like, Salute's one of those artists as well.
Who?
Salute.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that he was putting up, like, there was something I saw on his Instagram. He was like, if the lineup isn't covering this percentage of however many people cultures and stuff, he's like, I'm not playing it.
That's what will drive change.
Yeah, of course it will.
I love that idea. That's great. I need to find that post. Yeah. Somebody, Evie put, not enough drink tokens.
That's said by a DJ. Definitely said by a DJ.
Yeah, you did used to get more back in the day.
I don't know what you DJ. I used to get loads. If you don't get drink tokens, just walk behind the bar. You can't do anything. I'll just stop the music. You've got all the power as a DJ. All the power.
This is going to come back and bite you, saying this. Yeah. It depends how friendly you are with the venue, I guess.
The first thing you do is get friendly with the bartenders. The first thing you do, get friendly with them. No problem. What's this song? I'll tell you what this song is if you get me a. What we got here? So Liverpool, not enough DMB, baby. here's a good one. DJ Honeypop. Too much hit from the I Learned on Vinyl DJs.
I'm one of them.
Right.
You're not a hater. I'm one of the people who learned on vinyl.
Yeah.
And funny enough, I'm getting really back into vinyl.
Yeah. No, we'll talk about it in a bit.
But I am not one of those people.
No.
I do stuff on Pioneer's TikTok page using the Flex 4 using controllers. And I love technology. Not all vinyl people are like that. However, there are a lot of them.
And you know what
I see them on Facebook mostly.
Well, I found that they've infiltrated TikTok now.
Really?
Yeah. Like the most recent post that we've got now, I would say is like a lot of like the old school guys just like hammering whatever it is.
Yeah. Like, it's just salty bitterness, isn't it?
It's so strange. Like just enjoy, like enjoy what you enjoy.
Yeah.
And let the other people enjoy what the other people enjoy.
Yeah.
It's like, just bizarre.
Just old people going like this, young people having fun.
Having fun. Just let them. It's just, you know, it's all positive. It's easier than ever to DJ. It's easy to get into it. More cost effective. There's a million songs at your fingertip.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like, if you'd have said this to people 20 years ago, you'd be like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, and every single one of those people, if they had the technology that's currently available, they would have used it too.
Oh,
yeah. This is the thing, I don't understand these like older people that do kick off about it. It's like, they used to be wired telephones, but you're not going to buy one now because it's like, it's not helping you out. It's like, it makes no sense.
Let me just jump on my horse and get to work. Is there some good ones coming in? You favour them, we'll get to some. Andy Prince says, too many DJs playing what the crowd wants without showing them some new unknown songs.
Love that.
Do you love that one?
Love that.
I love it to a point, obviously. It depends where you are, obviously. But if you're a DJ, your first priority is the crowd.
Definitely.
So, you know, if you are playing a load of new shit and no one's dancing.
No. Switch it's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah. We always say, like, play two for them, one for you. Yeah. You know, there are ways around it. But, yeah, there is a lot. It depends where you go. I think, you know, if you're going to your standard Saturday night club night in town, you're going to hear some songs, you know. If you go into a, you know, knee festival in the middle of a desert, then, you know, you expect to hear some tracks. Expect to go on, like, a music journey.
By the same point, though, I do think that a lot of crowds, there's not enough crowds who are open to that as well. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I've played at places where, like, you do want to do that too for them, one for me, and you're just like, I can't.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you test the water. You test the water, and it's like, they need to vocal.
So that does happen. So, you know, I do wish there were more crowds who were just like, no, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
Here. Let's see what gets played.
Yeah. But we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, a lot of around here, I can't speak for everywhere else, but around here in the UK, a lot of like the mainstream clubs are sort of dying. But in reverse, there are a lot of more niche clubs, more 400 cap clubs that are opening up, which are playing more niche events, which will allow that to happen, which is great.
Do you want a comment?
Go. Yeah,
this is a good one, actually. What is there too much of? Backspins to cover bad mixing. Listen, we've all been there.
Why are you coming for us like that?
That's what happens when you have too many drink tokens. That's when you need to do that.
Drink tokens. Oh, yeah, we've all done that, yeah? Oh,
Oh, yeah, the trusty air horn. Someone said too many different types of controllers. This is interesting.
Well, yeah. I think we're speaking from a different position here. Like, too many different. I don't know why, because you should only ever have one controller, right? So, like, I don't know from our perspective, yeah, a lot of them just do the same. A lot of them do the same thing. But, yeah, you know, the brands have to make money. It's like a new pair of trainers. You don't need them, but you like them. And it's like anything. Like, technology does advance, new stuff happens, and they put out new products. Sometimes they just put out a product because they want to put out a product, right? Yeah. But, yeah, too many controllers. I think we'd be a bit bored if there wasn't new technology every month.
It's better to have options, right?
Yeah.
More people, if there weren't enough.
And then one in five is, like, amazing. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one says, too much negativity and complaints about gear and not enough passion about music. Yeah.
I mean, coming from a review channel, we get a lot of negativity.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, I think in general, yeah, there's a lot of... I think what's funny is you post a review online and people just hate it for various reasons. You know, and they've not held it, seen it, been touched, you know, played on it, and it's like you can't really get across... feel, quality, build on it. Totally. On it, it'll just go, how much is it? And you go, nope.
That happens with the Omnis Duo. Like, I did content for Pioneer with that, so I had a very good idea of how it feels.
And
it's a shame that couldn't come across, because it is a really good unit, that thing. It feels good. It feels very premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got a couple of good ones.
Let's go.
It goes into the other one. Too many edits and not enough original tracks. I'm going to disagree with this.
Just to be
controversial. It's because I think it takes a long time to like an original song, right? But if you play me an edit of, you know, whatever, Skepta, whatever, I like it immediately. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, and you can't play the same tracks over and over again, but, you know, the vocals of tracks are timeless, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So it depends what you're into and stuff like that, but, I love an edit.
And also, edits can sort of, they evolve over time and they can, like, latch on to different trends that are happening, and
exactly.
So I get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got the same vocal, but then, you know, dubstep back. Exactly. So you just put the vocal on a dubstep track. Whereas like an original track, it takes you 4 or 5 listens before you're into it, and then you're okay. Yeah, I like it now, but yeah.
Yeah, and I bet you any money there's a Drop It Like It's Hot edit of 50 different genres.
Yeah, of course, 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah, too many phones, not enough vibes.
This has been for a while. It's been around for a while.
The phone debate. Where are your phones at a rave?
It's just, again, sign of the times. Can't avoid it, can you?
No.
But there is venues who are like putting stuff in place where they're like, we're banning phones on the dance floor. Yeah. And I don't know. Do you think it's people trying to cling on to a time that isn't here anymore?
I think that they appeal to a certain audience. And it's like, it's almost like a selling tool for them to get people in the door. It's like, we'll get the cool kids who don't want to use the phones. It's like, a bit of get them in the door. But social media runs everything. Like these DJs want you filming their DJ set.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah. Like, you know, they want that. That's more like filming a Skrillex DJ set is more valuable to him, like, than spending 3 hours in a studio. I don't know, you know, one viral clip. An up and coming artist is probably a better example. If you're an up and coming artist and you get, you know, a viral track, you know, it's happened loads of times.
I never thought of
started
it
that careers
angle, actually.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, I've been in film. I never watch them, you know.
I film it.
I'm like,
you end up deleting them because it takes up like
so much room. Yeah.
Or you're just embarrassed because you just smashed.
Yeah. One thing I have thought is like, are all these people on the dance floor trying to film it so that their video is the one that goes viral?
Must be. Right?
Is that what it is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because you just see it, like, when you look at them, and it's just like a sea of phones in it. It's like, did anyone get it on footage just by any chance? Like,
I've watched a couple of videos of old garage raves from not even that long ago, like the mid to early 2000s. Yeah. And it is different. Like everyone there actually seems to be involved in the moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that. One from one of my friends, DJ Dre, says, too many DJs not playing according to their set time. Bearing in mind, DJ Dre is a DJ's like Ibiza Rocks, where they'll have loads of guests on. So he's obviously done a summer of guests, like not turning up on time, like just part of the job. And not enough resident DJs willing to put their ego aside and warm up a venue properly.
Yes.
Hello.
100%.
This is a big one.
That is a big one, actually. Yeah. I'd agree with this.
Like a good DJ really appreciates a good warm up set.
Definitely.
Like it's like part of the culture, isn't it? Like it's like, you know, I've done loads and loads of guest sets, and sometimes you get there, the DJ's playing big tracks and you speak to them and they're just trying to impress you, and it's like, all right, fine, I get that. But then there's just some dicks. They're just like, all right, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
um, But you know, if you have been DJing a while, like a warm up takes all the pressure off. You can play songs you like, because you know a headline's coming on, and you know, it's their job. It's really their job to like smash it. They're going to play the big tunes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then if you're going on after them, that's where you can sort of show off your skills and stuff. But I love a good warm up.
Totally. I do. Some of the best sets I've ever had have been warm ups. Yeah. Like, they're so much fun.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'll just leave you on this kind of uplifting quote. Too much competition, not enough unity in the community.
Yeah.
Hello. Cool. Right. We'll get into some. Have you got some Reddit drama for me?
We do have Reddit
drama.
Right.
Let's get into some, a little bit of Reddit drama. Good story.
Reddit drama. It's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
Drama time. Because there hasn't been enough drama yet.
yeah. This whole thing's been drama. Jamie goes away for 1 week and we're let it's loose.
Falling apart. He's going to message us later, like, what have you done?
Crossfade has been cancelled. Right, this story takes a turn.
Does it?
It's quite good, yeah. Scams in the DJ world.
Ooh.
I'll read the name out. Oh, Ragga Tunes. Nice. Okay, nice. Hey there. Today I woke up to a booking request asking me to play a 1 to 2 hour set in a dream setting on the Caribbean island. At first I was hyped, but after a minute I smelled a scam. I'm far from being famous. All I can offer is 15,000 subscribers on my YouTube. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. My music would fit the vibe there for sure. I'm skeptical because why would anyone pay more than $1,000? He didn't put dollars or anything, but $1,000 to book a nobody like me. What would the scam be? Other than to fish for my data, how do I figure out whether this is a scam or not? But I'll stop there. I just want to sort of, how would you figure out if it was?
I've never had to face a problem like this, really.
I've had a few of these.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'd just try and get what information I could and look at the event, try to find out how legit it is.
Yeah,
see if you could find the promoter. Maybe
I would pencil it in and say send half the money.
Yeah,
and if they don't, it gets deleted.
Yeah. That's exactly the thing to do is some money up front, and then if they get funny about that, you know, it's a bit shady.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a scam, they'll probably ask you for money.
Yeah, of course. You know, or like your full data, your address, and all that kind of thing. You ever watched Catfish?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that just reminds me of like Catfish, or like doing a Google image search, like trying to like find their phone number online and stuff like that. But the thing is, if you know, if you don't get these types of gigs, which most people don't get gigs offered on a Caribbean island, you know, your brain will tell you everything to that is real. Do you know what I mean? Because you're just like, I just want this to be real.
There are gigs out there like this.
There are.
There are gigs out in places like Greece where you go and live there.
A couple of friends who do that.
They do exist.
Yeah, there was a great. Did you send somebody put in a Crossfader group? It was a story of Annie Mac getting flown out to a wedding.
Yeah,
she got flown out to a wedding, Annie Mac, in Italy, somewhere in Italy. It's like a beautiful setting, like amazing, like guests and like a view of the mountains, and she's like, okay, right, where are the decks? And the wedding planner was like, what decks? She's like, the decks. She's like, have you not brought decks? No. And she's like, no. And she had to do the whole wedding off her Spotify.
By the end of the night, she was crowd surfing, so it can't have gone bad.
Yeah, because she's just like a great DJ, so she just knew the good tunes to play. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
That's crazy. I wouldn't expect Annie Matt to be taking speakers as hand luggage.
That's funny, so part. Funny. Right.
So did it take a twist this?
Update. Today I told the booker my concerns about this being some kind of scam with a hacked Instagram account. She then sent me a proof video with my DJ name in it at the location, giving me some more details. Mm. It was definitely the woman that was running the Instagram account for many years. Long story short, I'm playing on a Caribbean island during the sunset next month.
Nice.
Oh, where are the claps?
I like that.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that though.
What's funny is, so he's obviously posted this, and like all the comments are just basically like, this is a scam, run away. But this guy's energy, and he kept focused, and he's managed to get the gig, you know what I mean? Where a lot of people have just gone, block, delete, that'll do, no thank you. But yeah, fair play. Love that. There are, and this, that's another thing as well, is like, This guy says, you know, he's only got 15,000 subscribers. You never know who's watching. This is another thing with content. Yeah. You literally never know who is like watching your content. And it's not, you don't need like a million followers to get really good bookings or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Blakey, your testament to having a DJ career path that's just gone in so many different directions.
Yeah.
And that's just from, you know, putting out content, being a great DJ.
Yeah.
And you just never know what a post can do for you.
It's true.
You kind of just have to like train the muscle of just putting it out there.
I said it earlier, a lot of this industry and good things happening is right place, right time, and just seizing the opportunity. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of it is about that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I've had stuff like that come through and you're like, this seems a bit weird. But then like, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm like down, you know, in Italy or in France or whatever, playing a DJ set. You're like, this is ridiculous. Right. We're going to get into our brand new game, which is...
Add to playlist.
I've been away for a week and I've been drinking wine nonstop.
So we've got our setup ready to go.
Danny's going to provide the tunes right now and we're going to play Add to Playlist. I'm going to explain the game to Blakey. You go get set up.
Cool.
So Add to Playlist is all about giving you some fresh tracks every week. And we're basically going to go through the process of trying to figure out what genre it is, what's like the energy rating, and is it good enough to add to our playlist? Like, would you add it into your playlist? Right. We always post our track list in the Discord afterwards, so the track list for all the tracks will be there. Hope you enjoy this track. Danny's got a selection. How many tracks we got?
Five.
We got five tracks.
I need you to switch my camera if possible. So, can you hear me on that? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Right. Okay. So I've got a few different sort of vibes.
Yeah.
We had a good mix last week, and
good.
So I'm gonna start with this one.
Let's go. Okay.
Me.
Okay.
Which you know.
For me. Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that.
Whoa. I was like bracing myself. And I was like, okay, I'll wait for the build up. Jesus. Let's play that again. I'm playing this tonight, but.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
You know when that guy was on about like too many drops, not enough mixes?
Banger though, right?
Yo, does it have vocal in this? Is it like the vocal as well or not? Or is it just that? I don't mind.
No, just that. Just bang.
So first of all, that's drum and bass, right? That's drum and bass. The energy is a five. It would do that out of five. That's a five, is it?
Yeah, you're playing at peak time. High energy, man. Definitely. Yeah.
You're playing at peak time.
Definitely.
Like, it's not a warm-up track, that is it?
No. What I love about it is how it takes you by complete surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the right place, dropping that, towards the end of a little hip-hop set, to the right people, that was
Well, it's a great transition track, isn't it? Because you're playing a hip-hop set, and you're just like, yeah, just switch this up, and then no one's expecting it.
Yeah.
And then that is where you get backspins. That's where you get wheel-ups.
That's the wheel-up.
Because they think it's just going to be a Kendrick Lamar track, and it's like...
Yeah.
Who's that remix by?
So that is, the track is by The Caracol Project. He's a sick drum and bass producer, so everyone needs to go check him out.
Yep.
And the track is just called Sit the Fuck Down.
I'd be standing the fuck up. I don't pass Sit the Fuck Down. That is added to playlist, right? You're going to add that to your playlist, aren't you?
Yes,
going in?
Definitely.
Big tune. Cool. Right.
Next track.
Next one, let's go. Telling you, different vibes this
different,
week.
Different.
You know I'm here. Please don't ask again. Who's up in the van?
Yeah, I've got this.
What are we saying?
Right, keep it going.
I was in my hovercraft. Had another laugh. How you roll with them?
When you vibes that, innit?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's giving me Catronada vibes.
Yes.
It's giving me that little swing drums.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm loving that.
Who is the
track?
It's Kanye.
Remote control. Yeah, remote control.
That's the one.
So, the vibe is like a two, isn't it? Yeah. Super chill.
Yeah.
It's a warm up.
Yeah.
This is
like at the end. Like last track.
Yeah.
Get
I always loved that, like, you know, that 110 BPM range in warm-ups. Like,
yes.
Like
stuff, 110 like, is the sweet spot for a warm-up.
Works so well. It's like you're not quite dancing, but
You're definitely tapping your foot. 100%. Right. That is,
who is that by?
Kanye West Remote Control, yeah. Socks on the Edit, spelled S-O-X-X.
Socks.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's going in DJ.
Another thing I need to mention is they are all free downloads on SoundCloud. Again,
yeah.
None of this is paid music. It's all free.
Add to playlist.
Definitely.
Love that one. I'm not going to turn down a Kanye West song.
Right. Next one, are we ready?
Yeah.
Gonna be high energy.
Oh man, I've got some. I've got some.
I'm scared. Energy. I'm scared. I'm so scared. I'm terrified.
I heard this and I closed my laptop.
Be a shot, no shot, Teddy Brook shot. Well on, prison just broke, so they must put me on. Pop on the lift, get the drift, so it go on. Murder the beat in a Z-Tom song. 999, never call Babylon.
Disgusting.
I am going out after this. Oh, you know what's so annoying? I get so hyped for this. I usually DJ on a Thursday night, right? But it's like a student break, so I've got no release tonight to like play these songs.
We're just have a party in here.
Does anyone want to like book me tonight anywhere? Like, fly Taiwan.
That's an energy five, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just play one more time.
Beer shot, no shot, Teddy Brook shot. Well on, prison just broke, so they must put me on. Top on the lift, get the drift, so it go on. Murder the beat, you're not seen, I'm stomp.
Yeah, what are you calling this? What genre is it?
This is a good point, right? This is I thought we were going straight into like drum and bass or dubstep or something. This is...
Yeah, 142.
It's sort of jungle energy, but it's not quite jungle.
I'd call this breaks.
Not quite breaks? Is it quite breaks?
Yeah.
It's breaks. But I've got like a folder that I just call like boiler room. I mean, it's just like stuff I would play in a boiler room set. So yeah, it's just anything that's like this kind of energy that's not, I can't really categorize, you know, it's just like that will go in my set. But I kind of go jungle breaks.
Yeah.
But again, you could still, you know, is it a good transition track as well? Again, like going out of maybe a faster, if you go like, if you're playing super open format, you're going up from like garage, you know, taking it up another level.
Yeah.
I love that. What is that track?
So it's Sir Spyro, big grand producer.
Oh, Sir Spyro. Oh,
top
yeah.
Top, and it's Disaffected Bootleg.
Awesome. Right. All these tracks will be in the Discord. I mean,
they will.
How many is that? Three or four?
That's three. I'm on four now.
Three for three, mate. Yeah. Three for three.
Nice. So number four, let's go. Another very UK sounding vibe straight away. Yeah, we're feeling it.
Yeah, it almost shouldn't have them little two-step drums,
but it works.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah,
that is so nice.
Yeah.
See, again, that's even though it's like bass heavy, it's still like chill. It's still like a three. Yeah, yeah. Still like a three.
So
my usual thing with this kind of track would be like, where I play would be like, I'm putting a vocal over that at some point.
Yeah.
Just for where I play.
Yeah.
And again, somewhere in the transition of like, you know, I'm playing a hip hop set or playing a bit of garage and I'm just moving into a bit of a different genre.
Yeah.
But that's going to my garage folder.
Yeah.
For sure. Sweet. You?
Yeah, love it. Who is it?
Yeah.
The tune is by Natty, spelled N4TEE.
Oh,
the track's
called
94 Bits.
Love 94. It.
Yeah.
What a tune.
Big track.
Is that just off SoundCloud? Just a SoundCloud DJ?
Yeah, ooh. All these are SoundCloud. Like, just some bedroom producers are killing it.
If I made that, I'd be like...
That's it, yeah. Where is the Grammy?
Like, I will never make a song.
I am
good.
Famous.
Nah, it bangs, doesn't it? Do you want to hear the drop one more time, or do you want to hear?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, that little. Yeah.
Let's hear it one more time.
It's a little roller.
It's out of nowhere. Yeah, sick.
I want to hear the rest of this person's tunes.
Yes.
We got
some good stuff. I'll send you the sample.
All the track list will be in Discord after this. Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. This last one, I've been playing this tune for years.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's just like, It's like real deep house vibes for me.
Oh.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Oh, hello.
There we go.
We love the vocal already.
Some people might already know.
You look kind of familiar.
It's not new.
Yeah, you do too. But I just wanted to know, do you know somebody named? You know his name.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know his name.
But I just want to let you know that he's mine.
He's mine. He's mine.
This song does bits for me.
No, no. He's my.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That is deep house.
That real deep house.
That's real deep house for me.
It's quite slow, isn't it? 1:15, 1:24
Is it?
I think it's because we've been in like 140.
Have you got it at zero? That sounds slower to me.
We've been at like 140 range, so I think I've dropped it. And it's like when you go...
So the vibe is very chill, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Nice though. I like it. What are you saying?
I'm just enjoying listening to it, mate, if I'm honest. Yeah, like, there's so many places I play where this would just, you know, easy listening, like warm up set. Yeah. And then, you know, in summer, just like on a beach, like... Yeah. In a pool party. Oh my god.
Well, the guy playing in the Caribbean.
Oh yeah.
Get on this. This is Very Boys nice. By Honey, spelled H-double-M-Y.
Yeah, the guy who's got the Caribbean DJ set. Start with this.
I could imagine playing this sunset somewhere. Yeah. It'd be really nice.
Love that. Yeah, energy, probably two. That's super chill.
Yeah.
What's that track?
That is Boy by Honey. Honey spelled H-double-M-Y.
Yeah. Shane says, warm up brunch, sunrise vibes.
Nice.
The track before, DJ Danny J says, drums remind me of Burial.
Yeah. Burial, yeah.
Love that. Yeah, 5 for 5, mate. Well done. Well done.
Nice.
Wicked stuff.
Yeah, so like I say, all of them tracks will be available in our Discord straight after this podcast. Guys, as always, for all you legends of the podcast, we always like to give back to you guys. So remember, we are in an Easter sale. We're recording live on a Thursday. So if you're listening between Thursday and Monday, then it's 35% off all DJ courses, which includes Blakey's brand new course, which is an open format mixing course. What's in there, Blakey? Give us a few highlights.
Oh, what's not in
what's there? Not in there? What? That's a great answer.
So we've done BPM transitions, we've done mashups, we've done word plays, we've done sample switch ups. There's a lot in there.
Wide BPM transitions.
We covered a lot. We also did specific BPM transitions. So like if you want to go from drum and bass down to like garage, if you want to go from trap up to house, there's a lot of variety in there, because obviously it being open format, the whole point is it's got to work with whatever you're going to play. So go and check it out.
So that is 35% off now, and if you listen to this a little bit later, you can use the code Off The Record for 20% off any DJ course, and that includes the new open format course, house, hip hop, techno. We've also got music management, how to get gigs course as well if you're struggling. We've had a lot of talk today about getting gigs and networking and all that kind of thing, so how to get gigs course will help you out with that. And then there's all the major software, Rekordbox, Serato, all that kind of good stuff. Have you got a favorite there, or is that from Stuart?
I do have one more comment favorite.
Should we finish it off?
Well, he said, too many DJs, everyone in my town is a DJ.
Everyone wants to be a DJ, and that is why we're here, that is why we exist. And on that note, guys, we'll be back next week. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.